Blog Talk Radio.
It's in English. It's okay.
Welcome again. This is Fernando. This is a part two of our topic for today. The topic is, you know, we'll be talking about why is unrighteous to believe or to base your belief or your faith to that, you know, that Christ is a man just like us. So we can be saved according to the Bible with my co-host here, Don, in the other end. Why are you laughing?
Well, because I'm trying to get somebody to talk on the phone.
Okay. Are you in a Disney studio again?
They have this gathering.
We've learned on the other on the first segment, we've learned that there's the most holy faith that's about in the Bible, and you know they talk about the damnable heresies, which the damnable. You made it believe. Do not base your belief in because we're strong, we will not be saved. Now, and also we should base our faith and belief. You know, we have our faith in to Jesus Christ. And also this one, it says, what kind of faith? So, you know, we'll have a what kind of faith? Type of faith we're talking about here in the Bible. You can be saved according to the Bible. You're on the right in the studio there because I can hear the background.
I'm exiting now their studio.
Okay. All right. So here this is, you know, Christ. We've learned that Christ, that you have to base your faith into Christ. You know, we've showed you here into the thing that the God and the Savior. Titus 2:13, if you read that again, if you will.
Okay.
Oh, I can do it because you have a new NIV, right? 2:13.
I do.
Okay. So, we'll have to read that again. Titus 2:13, it says right here, and it says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So God and the Saviors. This is where, again, as I said before, this is where the, you know, some of the religious leaders or ministers out there kind of twisted this verse and saying that, you know, God, you know, separating God, I mean, Jesus Christ as being a God into or labeling him as a man just like you and I. And I also showed you that that a man actually cannot save a man on Judgment Day. If you see that on Psalm 146:3, and I showed you the proof on Jeremiah 17:5. And the question is why? And here's all the topic. I'm going to go in there. And hopefully we have that 23 minutes into going explaining this topic to the listeners. Why? Because, all men are liars. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all men are liars. That's like I said before, even kids, even, you know, my grandma, your grandfather, your aunt, you know. I once see the movie called The Scarface by Al Pacino. You know, he made a quote there, and he said, you know, I always tell the truth even though when I lie, which is, you know, doesn't make sense. You know, he said, I always tell the truth even when I lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys seen that movie, but anyway, that's a long time ago. So, and I proved that by reading Romans 3 and 4, like I said, you know, all men are liars. Just like I said it before, even kids, my kids would say, you know, even they're 3 or 4 year old, you know, did you do this? And they, you know, they see some, you know, oh, he's going to be, or she going to be in trouble. And if they say yes, you know, of course they'll say no. I'm saying, no, you know, I didn't do that. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, and here's the thing though, Christ is not lying. And I can prove that to you. You can go to 1 Peter 2:22. I'm going to go ahead and go in there and read that real quick. 1 Peter 2:22, and it says right in here, 1 Peter 2:22. Okay, right here. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who are you talking about here? Okay, if you
Jesus.
Go up in the 21, in the verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." You know, that's what the Bible says. He did not sin. No guile found in his mouth. What does that mean? He did not lie. He didn't, you know, he didn't. So, you know, do you have the NIV right in front of you, right?
Yep.
Go find that verse in 1 Peter 2:22 and read that in NIV real quick.
He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth.
No deceit. What is a deceit? That means lie. You
yep.
know? He's not a deceitful guy. He didn't lie. That's what I'm trying to say. Unlike us, you know.
And
I mean,
no
Jesus
deceit
Christ,
in his heart.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, actually, you know, I mean, he's sinless.
Yep.
Sinless. Found no guile in his mouth. And I can learn also, if you go to John 8:46, and that's going to tell you, John 8:46, and it's going to tell you right I'm going to read that for you. John 8:46, and it says, "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Who said this?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. He said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Read that in NIV if you want to do that.
"Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me?"
Did anyone believe? Did anyone? No. They, no one said anything. They knew. They knew you didn't commit no sin.
That's right.
Sinless. You know? But if you look at the man, all men, and I mean you and I, all men, women, kids,
mm-hmm.
kids, you know, grandma, grandpa, your stockbrokers.
Yeah.
We all, even those people that in the Bible, like you know, Jonah's,
yep.
Abraham, Moses, they all sin.
Mm-hmm.
They all sin because it's you know, if you go to 1 Kings 8:46. I can go there real quick. If 1 Kings 8:46. 1 Kings 8:46. "If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near." It says here, "For there is no man that sinneth not." Boom, right there. It says, "No man sinneth not." If you write, read that in NIV.
"When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy, who takes them captive to his own land, far away or near."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes. So, no man sinneth not. That means no man, and there's no exceptions. You know, they would say, "No man sinneth not, but, you know, Uncle Steve."
Right.
no man sinneth not, but, you know, but Obama. Anything like that. You know what I mean? So if you, and I can prove that, if you read Ecclesiastes 7:20, we can go there real quick. You want to go ahead and turn that. 7:20, yeah. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's another that tells in the Bible that no man.
That's
no man.
Right.
I mean, we all have lied. I mean, I have. You know, this. I know some people will call this like call something like twisting the truth. Stretching the truth. That's a lie. Stretching the truth. Well, I don't know how you call it. I don't care how many, you know, how you use it. You know, different terminologies on that. It's just the same thing. It's not true.
Yep, the half lie, half true. What's the other half, right?
That's right. No man sinneth not. No exception. You know, and it comes to when it comes to faith. You know, this is Paul. You know, wrote this on 1 Corinthians 7:23. 1 Corinthians 7:23. You know, when it comes to faith, let me go there real quick, 7:23. Right? 7:23. Here we go. So it says, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Ye are
right.
Bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. I mean, do not serve men.
Mm-hmm.
Not serve anyone. Any man, that's what it says here, men, M-E-N, be not ye the servants of men. You know, that's Paul saying here that you should not be base your faith or be under your faith into, you know, servants of man, of man.
Mm-hmm.
Be not ye servants of men. That's clearly stated. If you want to read that in NIV, what it says. What it says in the NIV.
But, I mean, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men.
Be not ye a man. So if you go to Galatians 1:10-12, and again, Paul
wrote,
Galatians 1, verse 10 to 12. 1:10-12. You got it?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. There he go. Paul is saying this. For do I now persuade men or God? He's asking. Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please man, I should not be a servant of God. So you can't do both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't do both.
Yep.
You can't sacrifice. You have to be servants of Christ. You have to be servants of Christ, not servants of man. You got that?
Yep.
You know, if we ask Apostle Paul, you know, if we ask him if he's a servant of God, servant of Christ, what do you think he's going to say? Of course. He is a servant of Christ. And that's what we should do. We should be a servant of Christ. Just like Apostle Paul. Not a servant of man. If you go to John 15:20, I don't know if you want to follow me. Are you following me at 15:20?
Remember the word
that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. And who's talking here?
Jesus
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. If you want to read that real quick in the NIV and see what it says.
And beginning with verse 20, correct?
Yes, just the 20, just 15:20.
Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also.
What does this tell you then? What did you learn?
Well, what I see in that is that you need to obey. If you obey the teaching of the Bible,
yeah,
and teaching of Christ, that you will also obey the people he sends to preach his word, and that you shouldn't, like, there's going to be people that persecute you, you know, if they persecuted Christ.
Mm.
But I was also thinking when I read that about there's people out there that they don't teach the whole truth. They teach only part of the truth that fits in with what they want to teach, like particularly modest clothing. There's a lot of preachers that don't preach about that, so their women go to church dressed immodestly because perhaps they don't want to apply that to their congregation, but yet it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible saying you do not believe that, you know, do not base your faith into believing that Christ is a man. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you do that, you will put Christ, or you will level Christ to being just like us, to being, you know, sinner, you know. But
that's right.
A lot of people will say, oh, he's a man, but with exception. I mean, they'll say that. But where does it say in the Bible that, you know, that the man all sin but Christ? You know what I mean?
Yep.
What it says in the Bible says all men are, you know, sinners, or, you know, they found a man sinneth not, but, you know, someone else. Doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, just really careful when you listen to your preachers and saying, you know, start telling you that Christ is a man. Now you can go and say, Pastor, what is this here? Pastor, what about this? You know, I know that I did not, you know, kind of feel like I missed something or missed out on this, but I hope with God's grace, you know, I was able to get my point across, so you may be saved according to the Bible. Once again, this is Fernando on the Fernando Poniente Show. We're going to have another topic next Sunday, and it's a surprise. So hopefully I'm going to, you know, we're going to try to squeeze. I think next time we're going to try to, I'm going to try to do maybe an hour and a half of the show, you know, see if I can get approved and get an hour and a half, pushing it to just a 30 minutes, you know what I mean? So what else, Nun? What did you learn?
I think that, well, this is an interesting topic because it points out that you shouldn't be preaching or teaching something that you can't prove in the Bible, because before I used to believe that, you know, you can believe that Jesus was a man when he was here on earth, but yet, you know, there is the verse, like you pointed out, that it says that all men are liars. So it's kind of like, well, all men are liars, Jesus was a man, but really he's exempt from being a liar, you know.
Right.
And then you try to cover it with the Bible verse where it says that Job was a perfect man, but it doesn't say that Job didn't sin. It just said he was a perfect man. So you can be a perfect man and sin, because in the Bible it says that all men are liars. So it's good that it's an interesting topic that you brought up, because, like I said, I used to think that Jesus was a man. But if you believe he's a man, then you would also believe he's a liar, which would make him not really God, You know what I mean? So it's good that you brought this topic up to teach others about it with God's help.
That's right. So if you want a strongest evidence that, you know, you can go based on the Bible, that, you know, you should believe that Christ, you should not believe that Christ is a man, so you can be saved. You can go to, let's start going to Genesis 2:7. We have about 8 minutes here, so Genesis 2:7. Let me read that real quick. Genesis 2. 7. It says. Wait, hold on a second. I think I'm missing a piece here. I just found out I'm missing a page in the Genesis. Not complete here. So if you wanna, let's see, 2:7. Bear with me here, just a minute. There you go. I got it. All right. 7. There you go. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and breathed a breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what it says there. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and breath of life, and man became a living soul. So, I mean, man came from what?
Dust.
Man came from dust.
Yeah.
How God the Father started, that's what it says in verse 2:7. Mm-hmm. And where did Christ came
from? God, the Holy Spirit.
From God, the Holy Spirit, exactly. If you go to John 13:3, let me read that real quick. I do have that here. God 13:3. There we go. Saying that, okay. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and went to God. Boom. That's right. That's what it says here. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Who are they talking about? Jesus Christ.
Yep.
It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. So, Holy Spirit. Right?
Yep.
There's also plenty. There's plenty of wisdom that, and symbolic wisdom that you can find in the Bible. If you go to 1 Corinthians 1:24, I can go there real quick because we're running out of time. 1 Corinthians 1:24. I read that to you here, and it says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Who is Christ? What it says here? The wisdom of God. And if you go to Ephesians 3:10-11, let me turn that real quick. And like I said, it tells you here that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. What is this on the NIV, Don?
In the Galatians or in the Ephesians?
Corinthians 1:24.
Okay. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it says, "But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God."
The wisdom of God.
That's right.
Plenty of them. Plenty of wisdom, you know, that's a lot of things in the center of that. Let me tell you one more time. Ephesians 3:10-11. "To the intent that now unto the principalities of powers and heavenly places not be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, symbolic, and if you go to, you know, again, there's a lot of things that goes into the symbolic terms when it comes to the Christ, the wisdom of Christ. And if you go to the John 6, 50-51, 15, John 6, 50-51, I'm sorry. All right, this is John 6, 50-51. In the 50-51, right here. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You know, that's what they talked about. I know we're running out of time, but if you go to the John 8:12, they talked about, you know, a symbolic light. If you go to Acts 4:10-12, they're talking about stone, being him and stone is in symbolism, symbol of it. And also, they're talking about Psalms 22:6, 16-18, and talking about worm.
This is
exactly.
Psalm 16.
Psalms 22:6. Psalm 22, verse 6, and then 16-18. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about there. But I hope you guys, you know, whoever's your listeners out, you understood what I'm trying to get across. You know, that's. And I pray that you all be enlightened by this, and you will turn away from a false teaching. And again, thank you for listening, and thank you for the people in the chat room, even though I have technical difficulties. Again, thanks for putting up with me, Dawn.
It's okay.
We can, you know, extend the hours next time. But this is Fernando. Again, I'm signing off. My co-host, Dawn. You left.
Hmm?
I'll give you the last thought.
It is very important to make sure whatever your preacher is teaching you is in the Bible. Go to livestream.com on Wednesday if you have any questions about the Bible at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Livestream.com. Wednesday, 7 p.m.
Okay, that's livestream.com/Eli. Eli Soriano. Signing off, this is Fernando and Fernando Fernandez Show.